is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. A follow-up conversation to last week's discussion with State Senator Floyd Brzezinski as we take a look at the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature. Floyd, thanks for being back on this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you very much. And I really want to thank you for having me back on. I apologize to all the listeners. Last week when you brought up the news of the Jack Fire, that was the first for me to hear of it. And it was kind of like unfortunate deja vu thinking of the Archie Creek Fire. And now we see that fire is up to 15,000 acres and only 15% contained. So I know we have a lot of work to do in front of us.
Yeah, and we'll continue to cover that. And, of course, the bootleg fire in Southern Oregon as well. So let's talk about the legislative session. One of the things I wanted to hit on first were either legislation and or funding that maybe specifically impacts your Senate district.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting because of the COVID as well as the fires. We had money that came into the state that we had not been anticipating. And there was a major focus by the legislature to really focus on the needs of the communities with the pandemic relief as well as the wildfires that hit us, of course, in September. We received the opportunity, my first time in the legislature, to actually dedicate and allocate money within the district, and each of the senators of the state received up to $4 million to allocate, and each state rep $2 million. And so in my district, having two House seats making up one Senate district, I worked with both of my representatives. And in this case, Cedric Hayden, who represents House District 7, which takes in the Douglas County area that I represent. And we were, in fact, able to put a significant amount of money into the request under the ARPA money. This is the American Relief Pandemic Act. And for what I was able to put forward in conjunction with Cedric and some of them, and some of them he did on his own, we came up with infrastructure and for the guardrails and bank and stabilization for the county roads of $500,000. $600,000 went into planning for building and permits by the county for fire victims. Community recovery coordinator of $150,000. And this is a key individual that really does help be that liaison between those who are directly impacted and their needs and what the county can provide, and also working with the state. Under the ARPA 2, which is the local community investments, this is where Cedric and I were able to team up together. We each put in $250,000 toward the United Community Action Network, UCAN. This is for a walk-in freezer as well as a commercial kitchen for food storage donations that are made and prepping those. UCC received $100,000, and this is for helping and training long-haul truck drivers for scholarships for students who are seeking that type of training. And the Neighborhood Works Umpqua, which deals with crime victims, affordable housing, $350,000 I was able to put into that. The Glide Revitalization, talking about just the Archie Creek Fire, $320,000 went in there for community assistance on their fire relief. Douglas County Fire District number 2, I believe each Cedric and I put in $300,000 to help them replace a fire truck. The City of Sutherland, I was able to give $50,000 towards some road repairs because of the post-fire issues on the main street there on Central Avenue. So, you know, that's the money that I had allocated. The other part was, even though it doesn't show up on this list, that is actually directly impacting and the county and North County and Drain. There's the Relief Nursery satellite office, and they're are in the process of modernizing or remodeling. And I forget the exact amount that we were able to get to them, but it was $100,000 to $200,000, if I'm not mistaken, to help with that assistance. So diversity and what I sought to get money to in different parts of Douglas County that I represent and for different purposes and needs. So I'm hoping that all of those will be finalized by the legislative process. We were given a very short timeline to put that together. Now it has to just be make certain that we cross the T's, dot the I's, that it fits within the restrictions of use of that money, which I feel all of the ones that I have committed to will, in fact, pass that test or screen. And money is supposed to be being allocated, will be dispersed sometime in September or October once where they go through the federal checklist that oversees how we will be using that money that came in from the federal government.
This was a very unique situation, and especially with the short time frame, I'm curious, was this something that the Speaker and the Senate President and the Governor perhaps put together as a way to take the funds and then have folks work more directly with their district? I'm not sure this is something that's happened quite like this before.
It's from my perspective, from all the years I've had the opportunity to serve in the House of Representatives or in the Senate, I've never had that opportunity to be front and center for my district to be able to say I have these needs and having allocated money to the district to be able to be used for those purposes. And yes, you're correct. It's my understanding that this, the leadership of the two chambers, the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, were in consultation, of course, throughout the session. But when we saw how much ARPA money was coming in and what the purposes were for, they came to the conclusion they thought it would be best for them to reach out to each of us individual members to see what was the needs for our own specific districts. And I really compliment them for doing that. I know there's a lot of times where you hear about federal government, pork here, pork there. Well, I don't see any of this as pork. I see these are direct needs that individuals and districts need, and you didn't want to have one size fits all and say all of the money had to go to transportation, all the money had to go to health and human services, but instead allowing for that flexibility around the state and each of the districts. And for me, it worked very well because both of my state representatives were very amenable to working together so we could stretch and push the money that they had allocated and the money I had allocated much further and buying some services and equipment that wouldn't be able to be purchased without that assistance.
And it must have been something that you had a lot of staff help or perhaps others involved with to contact, you know, organizations. And I mean, there's a long list of places that might come to mind, and yet you're trying to do all of that in the midst of doing the rest of the session as well.
That's true. And my little giggle there is, as you well know, I have one staff person that works for me full time in Salem, Kevin Moore, who has been just a godsend for my purposes of being able to take and run independent and do the work that needs to be done. And then he basically kept juggling all of the balls for the session as well as making these requests out. And some of the members, including myself, we actually engaged into some of that process just to make certain that we were meeting the deadline that had been given to us because we did not want to lose an opportunity such as allocation of funds that has not been heard of before.
So let's move on to some other topics. I'm curious, in the midst of the session, if the Employment Department issues from 2020, from the spring and summer, with people not being able to get through, not getting help, do you feel like those have now are on the road to being addressed?
Well, my response is, it has to be anecdotal, but I think it's probably a good sense that things look better than they have. And the reason I say that is the number of calls and inquiries and seeking of help from my constituents into the office that Kevin was handling has diminished considerably. We take that as a positive sign as to how many individuals have that were in much more need because they weren't getting in to the process. They were not hearing back from the agency. But at this point in my discussion with Kevin this morning, he felt that for at least in our district, it seems like things have smoothed over some. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean we still don't have problems, because we do. And we still have two or three calls that are coming in periodically, I'd say, from what he said, a couple a week compared to dozens per week. And so we're still working on it. So not everyone has been made whole or taken care of, but I do believe that the department itself has been able to right the ship to some point of being able to take in more of the influx of calls that they would be receiving directly instead of people coming through our process, meaning through the legislature and their members, to open the doors for them.
State Senator Floyd Prezanski with us. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246. This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 later today. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt. And on Inside Douglas County tomorrow, it is Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce. We'll talk about the issue businesses are facing with a lack of willing workers right now. That'll be on tomorrow's program. I'll also tell you about a job fair that's coming up Friday and Saturday. State Senator Floyd Prezanski on with us now as we talk about the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature. I mentioned the Employment Department ahead of the break. I'm curious as well, because this has come up not only with employment, but also with the Department of Motor Vehicles, if during this session anything was addressed in terms of what we keep hearing are very aged or very old computer systems in both those agencies.
Yeah, I can definitely report on the Employment Department. We reached out after hearing this as one of the issues you wanted to cover, and we were able to determine that, yes, there was funding. The governor had asked for, I think, something in the range of about $147,000 toward their upgrade. That was prior to session starting, so that was the end of last year. ODE was not able to give us the exact amount that they did receive, but they did say they did receive funding this session for the computer upgrades. My understanding is that they are on track to have all upgrades done by 2025, and that may be the same time frame for the Department of Motor Vehicles.
And I know that DMV, of course, was doing essentially everything online, and one of the things that came up in the height of the pandemic was that there were many things that you could, that folks had trouble trying to do online because things simply just didn't work.
Well, that's true. It's one of the, it's, how do I say this, except just very old. Arcane is probably being a nice term for how old these systems are. For those listeners who are, remember back in the 70s and 80s, there was a COBOL, was a program system, a software. That is what we're working under. At least that's what, as I've been told, in some of the mainframes that we still are using. So we have equipment that's, you know, close to 50 years old. And here's the ironic part. Most of the people who work that type of programming and that type of computer language have retired. And so it's kind of like we're trying to start over, but you can't really just pull the plug on one system and get another system just for the transition that it would occur. So I'm hoping that everything that we have been doing over the last couple of years have actually materialized to the point that we will, in fact, get these systems upgraded to the point of where they can actually deal with the needs of the citizens of this state.
What about in the crafting of the budget, which is now in place the last couple of weeks, the new fiscal year underway? What about department budgets, state agencies? Any agencies see some big changes going up or perhaps going down?
Yeah, again, looking at what we were able to put together in, for the show today, the one that we do, I can definitely say we had an upswing in investment and commitment is in behavioral health. We're seeing a dire need for us to put more and more into that area because of so many other unintended consequences or direct impacts that behavioral health has on other needs of the state and other departments and agencies. So there was a significant increase in the amount of money going into that arena. Of course, you're familiar with ballot measure 110, which is the one that took basically small user amount of narcotics and made them violations. and basically shifting away from a criminal justice model for those individuals and getting them into treatment and for addiction. And now that's a medical model, of course, and it's one that will, in fact, give us better results, because if you can actually treat the underlying issues of addiction, you're taking individuals out of a system that perpetuates needing more money for either social services or criminal justice systems, and, in fact, getting those individuals back to where they can be much more productive for their own selves, their communities, and, of course, their families.
And Oregon State Police was a question mark some folks had. I am told that we've kind of gone back and forth at different points in budget cycles. There was a pullback in the recession and an attempt to staff at a higher level. Where's the OSP at these days?
OSP actually got an increase. I'm going to say a number. I believe the increase is for additional 30 troopers, if I'm not mistaken, to be brought in under the funding from the budget from this year. I believe that was the raw number. You're correct. This is something that was actually, unfortunately, the demise of the funding that was in place happened late 70s, early 80s. When the state police was under funding, or received funding, I should say, from the highway tax funds. And there was a decision back in those days, the legislature, whoever was there then, to move them into the general fund category for funding, thinking that that would be a better place for them and maybe give them more accessibility. Unfortunately, hindsight shows that that should have never occurred. What we should have done is left them in to continue to receive some of the gas tax money for safety and public safety on the roads, and at the same time then taking additional money from the general fund to put more into it. So we have a state police who do a wonderful job for the short personnel that we have. We're, I think, ranked toward the very bottom, like 47th, 48th in size of states population-wise as to per capita of how many troopers we have. But this budget this year will, in fact, maintain the status quo that we had and actually increase, like I think, additional 30 troopers, if I've got that number correct.
When we started 2020, pre-pandemic, we were anticipating a significant state budget shortfall with the assistance of the federal government. A lot of that shifted. What's the state revenue picture like right now?
Well, I'll say this. It's rosy in the sense that there's an influx of the money has definitely assisted our state to be able to do things like we just discussed about allocations into districts. My last newsletter for June, and any of the listeners can go online on OLIS, get to my website, and then look at the recent newsletter, which is June this past month, and see exactly a part on the June forecast that came out. It does reflect that we are looking better, a little stronger, but we also have to understand that we have roll-up costs that occur from biennium to biennium, and those are the concerns that we still have to be facing, and that's why the co-chairs were very reluctant to just spend everything that we brought in, instead putting money away into savings, so we can, in fact, ensure that as we go through some of the transitions that are going to occur that were projected prior to getting the new influx of money, that we can address those in a way that we won't see significant cuts in the future to any of the agencies.
And another topic that I didn't hear much about, but of course there was so much related to COVID-19 during the session, was the state pension fund. Where do things look up the road in terms of a liability and a shortfall of funding?
I did not get any reports back. I did not see or hear or remember anything during the session that was focused specifically on the PERS and long-term shortfalls that had been projected. I will come back to just the general knowledge I do remember is that our PERS system, even though it is not flush, that it's not running in the black, it is in a much better position than many other states than they have as to what they're dealing with. And my understanding is that the PERS agency did, in fact, believe that we were in a very strong position and that we would, in fact, continue to see that shortfall of liability in the future being narrowed, I guess I'm going to say. Of course, part of this is attrition. As you see individuals who are in Tier 1, which is where the main cost for the shortfall long-term liability is, continue to, let's say, proceed and move forward, well, end of life, let's just say, die, that those obligations go away. That's, you know, a cold, crust way to say it, but that's the reality is that's what is the issues around that part of the funding.
State Senator Floyd Prezansky, thanks for being on again this afternoon.
Kyle, thank you very much. Sorry to end on a sad note.
All right, 1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.